Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out. Uncertainty. Self-doubt. Stressing about not knowing where to start. In. Plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out. Word art. Sorry, live, laugh, lovers. In. Knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
March Madness is here, and if you want to enhance the experience, join me, Gary Parrish, and my colleague Matt Norlander on the Ion College Basketball Podcast, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. We have new episodes at least three times a week and at the end of every night of the NCAA tournament. So before you go to bed, hang with us or know we'll be there when you awake. We'll break down games, make picks against the spread. Most of all, we'll have a blast. So join us on the Ion College Basketball Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hello.
Listen, no think good. About this. You're waking up with Sarah and Vinny.
I love it.
Alice at 97.3.
Hit the whole damn lot. It's Alice at 97.3. Sarah and Vinny, Alice's morning show. We have Friday vibes going right now. Good vibes and variety here at the Alice. Outside Lands is back. Listen for code words at 9.05. We'll have you covered then. 12.05, 5.05, and 6.05. That's a nice thing to win on a Friday, like right before you go out.
You bet.
Like, oh, thanks, Jane. It's Jane.
And you get to talk to Jane. I mean, come on.
Oh, what could be better than that?
Did you hear her show and win stuff? Jane.
We'll all have code words for you. You text those to our contest line, and then you're in the running for a pair of three-day general admission festival passes to Outside Land, starring Hozier, Gracie Abrams, Doja Cat, and many, many more.
I'm definitely a Hozier guy.
I know you are. You love that one song.
The new one was great.
Too Sweet?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Mm-hmm.
August 8th through the 10th, Golden Gate Park, Outside Lands. We've got your three-day passes, courtesy of Another Planet. Thanks, Another Planet. It's wonderful. Okay, let us begin with this weekend's movie releases. This is a movie. I actually don't think I got to this story, Vinny, but I know we all love Jenna Ortega, Wednesday from the show, and she's...
Can't wait for the new season.
Right, me too. And I love Paul Rudd. Like, this movie has basically everything I want in it. So Paul Rudd plays Jenna Ortega's dad in this movie called Death of a Unicorn. Now, you might think, oh, like a unicorn, something rare and unusual, something's happened. What? No, we're talking about an actual unicorn. And now the parents of the unicorn that has been killed are really mad. And they're out to get this father-daughter, Paul Rudd, Jenna Ortega team.
They killed the unicorn?
They did it by accident. They didn't mean to. They accidentally hit it and kill it. And the parents, apparently the unicorn's... are only cute when they're little because the trailer, it's like a horror comedy.
You're telling me Paul Rudd's driving down the road in the family Sportster, Truckster, whatever. And Jenna Ortega's in the front seat next to him. And then they're talking and they look up and there in the road is a unicorn and they plow it right over.
And they hit it and kill it. Yeah. I actually think she might be driving. I put the trailer back up on the Sarah and Vinny Facebook page, but I watched it. I've been hearing about this movie for a bit, and I just have never gotten to it because it's such a stretch. Like, even to tell you what this stupid movie's about. But I feel like if anyone can pull off a horror comedy about the death of a unicorn, it's Paul Rudd and Wednesday Addams.
Yeah, I mean, the movie If, you just wouldn't expect that to be worth a watch, and I was bawling like 5 minutes in.
Who are the stars of that again?
The guy from The Office and your boy Ryan Reynolds.
Krasinski.
Yeah. And Ryan Reynolds and some lady. Some little kid lady. Okay.
I got a clip from the movie where they hit the unicorn. Here.
Okay, all right, here we go.
Poor unicorn.
God, they die so horribly.
That is really obnoxious.
I can't breathe.
Oh, go already.
I can't breathe.
Gosh.
I think it's really hurt.
You think?
Yeah. Anyway.
Oh, dear.
This is rated R. Oh, dear.
Oh, dear.
It's rated R. It's called Death of a Unicorn, and you got to go to a theater to see
not
it.
Not a deer. It's a unicorn.
Oh, dear. The trailer's up at the Ceremony Facebook page. And it's worth a look. It's pretty funny.
By the way, speaking of crying, you watched your Survivor, right?
I did. We have to talk about that.
Okay.
Yeah. Let me get through these.
Whenever you're ready.
Whenever you are feeling it. We can talk about it right after I get through this list. Because I actually want to tell you about this couple of books. Let me do this fast. A Working Man. It stars Jason Statham. It's rated R. The trailer's up. He works in construction after leaving his military past behind. His boss's daughter gets kidnapped. You know how that's formulaic. By the way, the screenplay was co-written by Sylvester Stallone. So
I like it.
David Harbour's in it. That's Hopper from Stranger Things. There's something called The Woman in the Yard. It's PG-13. It's for the trailer is up. This is one day a mysterious woman shrouded in black lace appears in the front yard of this farmhouse, and she's repeatedly warning today's a day, some kind of horror movie. Although this is PG-13, so I don't know. Steve Coogan, he plays a cynical British teacher working in Argentina, and his life is changed for the better when he rescues a penguin. I don't know who this movie is for. It's called The Penguin Lessons.
It's for kids.
He learns. It's PG-13.
What?
It's for people who are into penguins, I guess. If you love penguins, Steve Coogan's got a movie called The Penguin Lessons. You know what it kind of reminds me of is that My Octopus Teacher, which was like a documentary.
Yeah.
Remember that?
Yeah.
Which was lovely from a few years back. So I don't know. Apparently there are lessons we're going to learn from penguins. And
okay.
Steve Coogan's got a movie about it. On your TV, you don't really hear too much about the World Figure Skating Championships. At least I don't. And they're on this weekend.
Because no one would ever watch that.
Well, Friday and Saturday night at 8 o'clock Eastern. So that's early our time, 5 o'clock our time. And they go through the night. The World Figure Skating Championships. I wonder if this is a product of network TV has nothing to show anymore. And everyone's watching streamers. So they're like, yeah, we can televise the World Figure Skating Championships. Why wouldn't we? My dad used to watch them on TV, probably like on Wide World of Sports or something. You know,
figure skating.
That there would be figure skating on your TV, and he'd cry. He just, you know.
Oh, Jen.
Figure skaters and Sia, they're his undoing. On Hulu tonight, and I've been hearing ads for this show. It sounds charming. It's called Mid-Century Modern. It's a comedy about three gay guys who decide to live together in Palm Springs. Nathan Lane, Matt Bomer, and apparently the late Linda Lavin. That's the lady from Alice, where Flo would say, kiss my grits.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a trailer for that. I also put that up there. Today on Max, whatever that is, it's the HBO streamer thing, the streaming premiere of something called Queer, starring Daniel Craig. It is based on a William S. Burroughs novella. And I watched the trailer and it's about a gay guy and somebody's got a crush on. And I was reading the synopsis of the book. There's like a heroin addiction thing going on. I don't know if that's depicted in this movie, but it sounds heavy and it's streaming now. But it looks beautiful.
Okay.
Yeah. And Daniel Craig is a gay guy. All right. Let's take a look at that. Saturday Night Live. The host is Mikey Madison from Enora. And the musical guest is Morgan Wallen. There's another episode of The White Lotus on Sunday. And Sunday on HBO, The Righteous Gemstones. This is already like the fourth or fifth episode of the fourth season. I cannot believe I am so far behind on this.
I got off of it in season two. So
oh God,
I should get back on it.
Oh,
okay.
That show, I think this is the last season of it too. I think they're done with it. It's like this creeper show that is so wrong and so funny. It's really good. I love it. Danny McBride is the main star. John Goodman's one of the main stars. But it's about these three kids. They're the kids of a pastor, like a big, you know, one of these evangelical, mm-hmm. you know, Bible thumpers. They get so rich. They live in this place where they've got their own, like, Six Flags right there on their property. I mean, they're just out of control. But they're so, Judy is the daughter.
Judy's the best.
Judy's the best. She's the sex. She's like, I'm going to make the sex on you. And you're getting like, and I'm going to do dirty. And she's so dirty, but she's so wrong and awkward.
Who plays her?
Let me see if I can find her name here. I have her here somewhere. Hold on. Hang on. Her name is Edie Patterson.
Edie?
E-D-I.
Oh.
Edie Patterson. And her Judy Gemstone.
I just
I'm going to do,
her.
You know what I'm going to do. I'm going to touch that thing of yours and I'm going to make you scream. She's so great. Oh, God. She's like
that lady.
Yeah, she is the kookiest because they're just, this family is so twisted. It's great. It's really good. I love it. It's called The Righteous Gemstones, people. Check it. If you've never watched it, hooray for you. You've got four seasons.
She was in Knives Out, too.
Oh, what was she in Knives Out?
They say she played Fran in the film Knives Out. I don't remember.
I don't remember her at all. All right, so there's that. Let's see. I wanted to quickly mention to you a couple book things. There's our TV and movies. Here's a couple book things. Bless you. The new Hunger Games prequel book, it's called Sunrise on the Reaping. It came out March 18th. It's already sold 1.5 million copies worldwide. It's going to get a film adaptation that's coming out November 20th of 2026. But people are hungry for the Hunger Games. That the song.
Stop milking me.
No, I'm not. I'm never going to stop. I liked that one. I can't remember what the last one was called, like Song of the Songbirds and Snakes. There it is. The Ballad.
You didn't
of,
like it.
I did like it.
You liked the book or the movie?
I did not see the movie, but I liked the book. It's about President Snow. Is that his name?
Mm-hmm.
And it's like his early years as they were. I mean, the games were already going. This one is called Sunrise on the Reaping. It sold more than 1.5 million in English and many more in other languages, I'm sure. This is Suzanne Collins. And so in case you didn't, I didn't even realize, I feel like they didn't promote this very much. But if you're a Hunger Games fan, there's a couple. They're actually saying that this is triple what Mockingjay sold in its first week out, which is crazy because that's one of the original three.
Well, yeah, because it wasn't that big yet.
Wasn't Mockingjay the third one?
I don't know, but I mean, it became gigantic when it became a film.
That's true. And yeah, I don't know how soon after and read it all, right? And then the other thing is, this is bizarre. Like, I don't really know about this Mr. Beast guy, but you guys seem to go, oh, yeah, people know about him.
Oh, yeah.
But I do see, like, Mr. Beast bars, and the guy is so dorky. I'm like, okay, whatever. He's got, like, snack foods. James Patterson, the guy who wrote, like, Kiss the Girls and...
lots of stuff.
Yeah, I mean, a zillion books. Mm-hmm. He wrote all these Alex Cross books. Like, that's one of them. But he's written a bunch of series. I think he's even written some romance novels and stuff. So James Patterson and Mr. Beast have written a thriller novel. It's unnamed as yet, but they say it's like Shades of Squid Game. In fact, there was a working title that was something like The Most Dangerous Game. But that has not been confirmed. Other titles are being considered. And so this is a written book. The bidding war is on. It's in eight figures, obviously. And then they're also selling the TV and movie rights. And so nobody's even read this book yet. And they're like, please, won't you give us all the money and all the.
Well, big names.
Please and thank you.
One's right. Got all the social media covered and the other one knows how to write.
Yes, he does. All right. I want to talk about Survivor.
Okay.
First of all, I think the big thing to talk about is the thing that had me bawling my eyes out on the couch as I sat and watched it and thought to myself and said to John, like, this is what I love about Survivor. Like, it gets so real on this show sometimes. There's a young lady. I don't know. Do you think she's 22? I don't even know how old she is. Maybe she's...
early 20s.
Yeah. So, and her name is Eva. Ava? Doesn't
I don't
matter.
Remember.
She has a name. We don't know what it is. She has some form of autism. She gets along all right. And she had, to this point, really only told this one person. She sort of laid it all out for Joe the fireman. The guy from Sacramento, he's a local, and he's doing just great. He seems like such, like, that's the guy you want to be friends with in your life. You have a guy like that. So solid. So she tells him only... And then they get split up because the teams get shuffled. And she is under the gun in this challenge. She and one other person are racing to get this little ball through a maze and into the final hole. And she's losing her mind. But she doesn't give up. And Joe's on another team. They're not even supposed to really interact with each other. Like, there's, you know, he's looking over and he's like, you can tell he's just pulling for her. And she somehow does it. She nails it. She wins the thing. She gets the ball in and she's sort of saved the day from herself. And then she is truly losing it. Like, she's the relief, I think. And she's just having this, she's sort of downward spiraling. She's just like screaming and is losing her mind. And Joe is not, so you're not supposed to go to the other teams. And Jeff says, go, you can go. Do you want him to go? Want him to come? And she's like, yes. And he comes over and he's holding her and he talks her down. And it's the most beautiful thing you've ever seen. Like, your heart is clenching as you're watching this thing. It was so, I found it incredibly moving. And I'm done. I'm like, I'm tearing up right now. I was like sobbing on the couch, like, oh my God, save her. Oh. And then I start crying again because after the whole, they're sort of dissecting it as she tells her story to the whole group. And Jeff starts crying. Like, that was quite a scene on a little show called Survivor.
People were writing in
yesterday
to me before I even got to see it and saying, oh, Vin, you're going to cry. And I was like, okay, you know, this is a little out of hand, everyone. Yes, I cry at cartoons, but, you know, I don't just start bawling all the time. But I did bawl for that. Absolutely. It was super emotional, super cool. And it brings to mind a question I have for you.
Right.
Because it was too perfect. And so I wonder how much, like, if you are a lawyer and you have to get a person off on trial or you have to convict someone in trial,
right,
you manipulate the jury as best you can to get what you want out of this trial, right? Like we've decided in all of our studies.
You're putting a show together.
That this is, we need women from 25 to 54 named Karen. Okay, so that's what you're trying to get in the jury seat, right? Right. How much manipulation because it was so masterful and so well done that and you know they're casting this show, right?
Of course.
So there are
it
people
is a TV
going,
show.
Here's someone who's on the spectrum and here's someone who fancies himself a hero.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying he's not. I'm saying.
Well, they did put them. They decide who's on what team to start this whole game off.
That's my point.
Right.
Like, I wonder if they're manipulating this with. So as it finished and I fell for the whole thing I'm not saying it was a scam.
So you felt cynical.
I didn't feel cynical. I felt like it was such good TV and such a moment that there. I wonder if there's someone in the background going, yes,
exactly,
we did it!
What I hoped for.
That is exactly what I, and you
well,
can't.
Well, that I could deal with. To hear that they had set this up in a way that was manipulating a young lady who has autism into a situation where she's going to fall apart, like that would really bum me out.
Well, that's another thing that could have been, that challenge was an F job. Like, she's the old, no one can jump in and sub for her.
Nope.
She has to finish.
Everybody had to sink one of the balls.
She's melting down. You can hear her and see her melting down, and the camera's on her.
Mm-hmm.
So it was an F job for sure. Like you say, you know, you'd hate to think, well, I mean, they could have said, well, you don't have to finish. We can let another person. They've plenty of times
right.
They let. You know, the ringer jump in and finish the...
They could have said, we won't cast this person because we're afraid that something might go terribly wrong. You know, there have been... I love some of the casting that they've done over the years. Some of it, I'm just like, oh my God, that person's awful and should never be on TV. But other times, I feel that they're manufacturing these situations. I can think of a few times. There was a trans dude that was on there, and that was just a few seasons ago. And his story was absolutely... lovely. Like it was, I felt like middle America does need to see this. This is a very nice person who you've grown to like, and now it's revealed to you that this person is living a non-traditional lifestyle. And then there was the girl who kept getting touched by the dude. She's like saying, stop, I am uncomfortable with you touching me. Please, I don't know you. Please stop touching me. And it's, oh, it's okay. It's all right. And he's, I'm like, I just thought that was, they've had, and that's not all. There have been a million moments on that show where you're just like, oh my God, this is actually like super real. These people who are on like, you know, Lord of the Flies style reorg of human socialized behavior. It's really, and I just was wailing on the couch last night watching
it. My point is that I don't necessarily know that it's manufactured, but whoever puts these things together
had their hopes for him.
Is there, and that moment, I'm sure, was the you couldn't have even hoped for it to go that well.
It was
in
so
their
perfect.
Mind as a TV, you know, producer or whatever right. they are.
Because that could have just as easily been she lost that game. She could not complete it.
If she didn't finish that game, that would have gone very differently.
And went to a very dark place
yeah.
that she couldn't pull out of.
So it really worked out. So anyway, I really did enjoy it. It's Survivor's still great.
It
still has great moments. That was a great TV moment.
And
for
I think we're only maybe 5 episodes in. We watch it every week, talk about it every Friday. If you want to catch up, you wouldn't have to do too much for that. What's it on Paramount? You can go get the old episodes on Paramount Plus. If you got that, you know, think on it. You know, we'd love to have you at the Survivor party. The blank looks coming from the other room over there. I don't know about that. All right, Vinny, what do you got coming up?
Gen Z, I knew I loved you.
Oh.
After these.
Blah, blah, blah.
Get up.
Wake up.
With Sarah and Vinny.
Legit, yeah.
Alice at 97.3.
Alice at 97.3. Sarah and Vinny, Alice's morning show. Happy Friday. Got a dance party going on in here. Dance party of one. Dance party of one. Oh, it is Friday. Yes. Looking forward to the weekend. The weekend. Check out the Alice 973 Instagram page. Oh, that's right. On there are the two Swifties on the show.
Yeah, it's a post. It's on there.
It's a post on there. You get to meet Bob for the first time.
You can see Bob.
See Bob. Not allowed to know her real name or social media yet.
Not yet. We're going to roll it slow, you know? We don't want you to get too attached too fast like we have. Okay. Anyway, you can find all our handles on there and check out our post on the Alice 973 Instagram.
What's up, everyone? This Alice Report is brought to you by the San Francisco Zoo. The San Francisco Zoo and Gardens is a destination for all. Guests of every age can experience unforgettable encounters with animals from around the world. As a leading conservation facility, the zoo inspires curiosity, engagement, and a passion for protecting wildlife. Plan your visit today at sfzoo.org. That's sfzoo.org. I got a couple texts real quick before we get into the news of the day.
Okay.
We had talked about Survivor, so a few texts rolled in. And Jeff said, this is about Survivor episode from Wednesday night. 510 says, they spent more time editing that than they have ever spent before. They wanted to get it perfect.
Mm. Well, she did stop everything and tell her story. So I'm sure that they had to figure out a way to fit that into the show and to make it work for everybody. I thought it was really, really beautifully done.
It was very well done. Absolutely. 510 says, thanks for ruining that epic Survivor moment with your negativity, Vinny.
What?
I don't believe I was negative at all. I believe that I was complimenting the producers of that show. I wonder how much in advance they're thinking to themselves
about the possibilities.
Like, we've got a hero and we've got someone who might need his help and he's got daughters. Like, let's see what happens here. Like, it's very well
done. Could have played out better. If they had planned it, they planned it perfectly.
Yeah,
it
went very well. No, I enjoyed that moment. I cried like everyone else did. Survivor's still relevant all these years later, in my opinion. No one will want Eva in the finals.
No, she's going to get cut soon.
She needs to get cut very soon.
Yep.
Because
she's strong.
Reasons, right?
And it looks like they're, the previews, it looks like they're going to merge this week, which means it goes to the individual game, which means if she can keep winning individual immunity, they can keep not being able to get rid of her.
925 says, Bonnie.
Oh, hey, Bonnie.
You don't need to watch season 2 or 3 of Reacher. Just watch the epic fight scene from the last night finale. Reacher versus a guy bigger than him.
Oh.
Here's the thing about that show, and this is a problem I have because I like to read books. And these aren't, you know, classics.
Right.
They're just novels, and some
fun
cases there's 20 of them.
Yes,
but
I love
Reacher
that.
Reacher character is a loner. And in season 2, he had like 10 friends.
Oh.
All these old friends from the army, but I don't know what they were thinking. And I assume they went, it doesn't matter. No one read the books, but I read the books and I'm like, what's he doing with all these people?
Well, maybe they felt like he needed to have like a posse
maybe.
To help him with, like, they're now doing a TV show. So they're like,
Understood.
Well, it's just this guy. Like, maybe we need to get a couple other cuties in here.
I'm just telling you, that's why I fell off. That's not the guy.
Okay.
So I fell off. And I also fell off of, who's the guy, Harry Bosch television show.
Because I liked the Bosch show.
But I've read all the books.
Yep.
And the show started doing weird things and pulling in.
Like, pulling from different books. There are so many books in those series. Is that Michael Connelly wrote all those? The Lincoln Lawyer and all the Bosch books?
Yes, uh-huh.
Those are great. And like police procedurals and lawyer procedurals. They're really cool books. I did watch, I think I watched all the Bosch show as well. And I did like it. He wasn't at all who I had really pictured as Bosch.
Right.
But I did like his daughter. That's, you know, she was pretty good.
Partly cloudy later today.
All right. It's partly cloudy now.
It's actually fully cloudy right now, but you shouldn't see more rain today. If you do, it'll be spotty.
Okay.
Partly cloudy later. There is more rain on the way, though, so we're not done with this storm window. The Giants won yesterday on opening day, and March Madness continues with more Sweet 16 action today. So, and that's for men and I believe for women as well. So you've got some stuff to watch. That's always good.
Anything interesting happen with our brackets?
Vinny's doing good. Florida is his big pick, and they won yesterday. So mm-hmm.
Big pick as in you picked him to win the thing?
I believe I've got them to win the whole thing.
Yeah, so he's, you know, they looked good.
Gen Z.
Oh.
I love you.
You and your ironic word posters.
There's so many things that come out. I've not been a fan of the way it seems the media, and this is just me looking at the news to prep for this show every day, the way the media sort of seems to... There's a lot of generational competition, and there's also this weird invisible generation that I'm part of known as Gen X that never makes the news. I'm always like,
yeah, we're the boomers of pretty soon. So Gen Z is between 13 and 28. Your daughter's almost in it, and Bob is just barely out of it.
Mm.
If I have your age right, it was told to me. I never asked you.
A new report found...
Yeah.
78% of Gen Zers listen to the radio regularly.
That's because the radio is awesome. And
I know.
Super smart, wonderful little children.
I don't know if it's safe to declare radio's back, baby.
If Gen Z says it's back, then it's back.
I like hearing that, though. That's really nice to hear.
I work in podcasting as well. So that whole report I read, and and also they're listening to more audio than watch. According to this report, they're watching video, but they're listening more than they're watching, which was really surprising.
Because YouTube, I feel like, and all the streamers have just taken over. But YouTube, everyone's on freaking YouTube watching shows and stuff.
My students don't know the word listener. They say viewers. Like when the first week in class, I have to go, listen, they're listeners with audio. They're not viewers. I mean, they really, that's how they think.
Mm. Yeah. Views, not listens.
They say a lot of young people are sick of digital everything. So they're gravitating towards old school analog tech more and more.
Woo woo!
Mm-hmm. And we did a podcast, a very successful one, for a very long time. And
we actually still do a podcast.
Well, this is our radio show, though. And I believe radio is different because it's live. And that's the difference. I love the experience.
If things go to hell in here, you're going to be here with us for it.
Yeah,
we can't edit that out later.
Right.
I suppose we could edit it out of the podcast, couldn't we?
For me, that's what I'm into. I love doing radio. As we've watched the workforce shrink, I mean, maybe some of you
mean in radio?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Maybe some of you think that that's like, well, you know, if you're still standing, you must be thrilled. And I actually feel like I wish all of the people were still in radio.
Right.
Radio stations used to be these buzzing rooms with lots of creative people.
Vibrant
who
beehives.
Want to entertain you desperately.
Right.
And now there's just empty halls. Mm. It's a bummer. We're still trying our hardest, but I'd love to see that turn around and see radio companies start hiring and training young people. We can't put everything on Bob.
No, Bob, it's all on you.
I mean, she is going to take over the Bay Area.
That's
but
the hope, yes.
We're going to need more of you.
Mm-hmm. We need a few Bobs out there.
78% of Gen Zers listen to radio, according to a new report.
I love it.
That's AM, FM. Not Pandora. Not this radio.
Yeah,
that's
radio
what we're talking about.
I mean, it's free. So get the Odyssey app. You can listen to us live for free every day. Or just, you know, have a radio in your car. I don't know. Do people have radios in their house anymore? Like, I
The
Listen
most
to
recent
my car.
Reports. I mean, every year it falls and falls and falls and falls. It's very low.
But you, so you pick up your phone and you go, hey, you know, Odyssey, play on my device here in my kitchen.
And that's how I was listening, you know, to the show before I came back on. Yeah, and I just
and you can tell that device play Alice at 97.3.
That's all you have to say.
Name.
Hey, you play that's Alice at 97.3. Or else we could actually make every Alexa play it right now by saying, hey, Alexa, play 97.3.
No, I don't want to annoy people. Don't wake their Alexa up. Go back to sleep, girl.
Let's talk dating for a minute.
Okay.
Got a hot date this weekend?
Yes, I do.
Oh!
Every Friday. You know that.
The HuffPost, they say.
HuffPo.
Just did a big story on something called floodlighting. So we've heard of gaslighting.
Wow.
Floodlighting is another term.
I have a feeling this is something you can get behind.
Floodlighting?
Yeah.
It's not what
Vinny's
you
the
think.
Guy who's like, turn on all the lights and let me see what you got going on.
I like what naked ladies look like a lot. That's all.
Let's have a look at that.
Everything
Floodlight
about
that.
You, I'm not you personally,
Thank
but you know
you.
What I mean.
Every, Clarify.
I like all
parts.
The stuff. There's no part of you that I would say it shouldn't
be floodlit.
Yeah.
Okay.
But
so
that's
what
not
is,
what
that's
this
not
is
what
about.
Floodlighting is okay. So is this like gaslighting?
No.
Okay.
Author Brené Brown, who is big on the
podcast.
She's
Brené.
Been big for a while, but she does TED Talks and she's big on podcasts. And she's an author. Brené Brown coined it in 2012 and said it was something to avoid, floodlighting. A lot of times we share too much information as a way to protect us from vulnerability.
Mm.
So we tell someone everything, including the bad stuff, right off the bat, and then go, you're going to be able to deal with that? Well, are you trying to chase people away from you? Like
right.
that is, in fact, what I've been saying. Not even having read this term floodlighting, I've been saying it for a while. It feels like people just want to rule someone out. Oh, I could never
right.
with a person who wears a seatbelt in their photo, their whatever that's called.
Right, your profile picture.
Profile pic. What a dumb
you're just,
thing.
You're just not looking
right.
for someone.
You just
you're eliminating
get
people
rid of
because
everyone.
There's a seatbelt as his wingman.
So weird. Anyway, recently people have been doing this on purpose as a way to fast track a relationship or fast end the possibility. Like, get it out there.
Right. I want you to know.
I snore. You gonna live with that?
Oh, I thought it was gonna be like I've murdered someone.
I don't snore, but I mean, I'm just saying. Like,
snoring is it doesn't seem like, well, you know, everybody snores. So don't worry. I want to sleep in a separate bedroom anyway.
Try going on a date and they listen to a radio show you do and then they already know everything about you.
There you go.
Oh, hey, Stinky Stout. How you doing, buddy?
Yeah, exactly.
You might be on a date and say, I'm an only child. I hate my dad. I'm on a cleanse. I have a ton of debt. And technically, I'm banned from Walmart. Can you handle all that?
Yep. Just wait till you hear what I got going on.
Brené Brown, the author, she's saying here, you shouldn't do this. You're scaring people off. It's not even fair to dump all that on someone before you've even formed any kind of friendship or connection.
Right. And shouldn't you be a book that people want to turn a page on? Like, let's keep turning pages on this. Let's peel this onion down. If you throw it all out there at once, it's like, well, thanks for being so startlingly floodlit in front of me.
Well, it's good to be open and honest about yourself. This, again, is about the latest dating trend, which is called floodlighting, where you just put it all out there in one big, long run-on sentence and then wait to hear what their review of all the things that are wrong with you is.
Well, I'm done with my drink. I gotta go. All right. Never see you again.
One expert says it's good to be open and honest about yourself, but there's a difference between organically engaging and waterboarding someone with your deepest traumas.
Yeah. Anytime waterboarding comes up, I'm like, I gotta go. No. Doesn't seem fun.
You know, one of the things that I
people
used to
do that. People do that even just not dating. Like people just like vomit some of their stuff on you and you're just like, I don't really know you.
I think that's a social media trend that if you open up Instagram, you'll see a lot of that stuff where someone is, they take other stuff from other people and post it if they feel like it represents their
them.
Own thoughts or feelings. And so there's a lot of that, like, here's me. Here's more me.
Yeah.
This is me. All right. Okay.
Yeah.
Wow. It's a lot. 5 reposts in a row.
I don't know. It's fine if you repost stuff. Don't listen to Vinny. It's just, don't worry about it.
How dare you?
I don't know.
You?
I just feel
you
like
don't even
tell
use Instagram.
I don't. You're right. And but I mean, if somebody reposts something because it's meaningful to them, I think that's okay. People do that. I think it's more about, like, I don't know, retaining some mystery. Like, if you meet someone, and whether you're dating them or just have just met them, like, you know, just try to be polite. Ask them some questions. Maybe they'll floodlight you, and then you can be like, "Oh, that's a little too much information." But people get diarrhea of the mouth, and they can't stop themselves. And then they sit back and are waiting for you to. Meanwhile, you're like, "Oh, I was waiting for you to take a breath so I could say goodbye." Oy.
Our text number is 800-400-3697. 408 says, I have a radio in every single room in my house.
You're the best. Oh my God, I love you so much.
Yes, including the bathrooms.
Oh. Well, fine. Too much information. Thanks for floodlighting us, but.
I'm a millennial, says 707, and I still enjoy radio. Been listening to y'all since I was about 13.
Is a millennial the one before Gen Z? Are you a millennial? Yeah. Oh, Bob hasn't said anything yet today.
I consider myself.
You're not on. I don't know why. It's not...
Oh, there you go. Sorry. Okay.
I consider myself.
Nope, you're not still on. Not
still
on.
Not on.
Hold on, buddy.
Oh. Yeah. Why does it? Why? I don't understand why.
That's me. I gotta set it on the board. I'm sorry. Brand new. We're just.
You could have blamed that on
He's
engineering.
He's gatekeeping, Bob.
He's gatekeeping.
Yes, I'm being the gatekeeper.
All right.
Go ahead, Bob.
I consider myself a zillennial. I'm right on.
You're
the
right on, the,
on
cusp.
The cusp.
Got it. Yeah.
But I agree. I don't know what this obsession with our generations is.
Yeah, did it start with, it maybe started with boomers. Maybe like since the dawn of time, people have been naming the generation. It's a very short window, each of these, 15 years, you know, ish. It's a funny thing.
510 says, Vin, that example from V-Hale is so old. She said that once. Get over it.
No, but she really meant it, though.
The point isn't.
This is about the seatbelt thing.
About the seatbelt. The point is people will rule someone out over the dumbest crap. It's got nothing to do with V-Hale, but it's an example you know, and you know what I'm talking about.
Right. Oh my God. He was like in front of an acacia tree. Ugh, I hate those.
That's the point. Ruling people out before you've ever said word one.
Oh, his sneakers were dirty when he was walking on that hike in his photo.
707 says, my son is single and giving up on online dating. Too much trauma dumping.
Oh,
one gal wanted to know
dumping.
What his trauma was.
Like this date, super traumatizing.
He told her he wasn't comfortable talking about it on a first date, so she proceeded to trauma dump on him.
Oh.
Yeah, I don't get it.
Trauma dump. Floodlighting. I like this, actually. It's interesting. I mean, I like to hear about a new thing that's happening in the world. I don't want you to do it.
Oversharing
anybody.
Is also a trauma response. People do it so they let other people know that they're normal and that there's nothing wrong with them, and they seek their approval, and it also decreases feelings of shame because you feel like you're one of the gang.
Yeah, I don't know. Therapy helps. You can trauma dump there.
Yeah, I don't know how that.
I don't, and there is no blanket thing for everybody's their own.
Everybody can get what they want out of dating. I liked to date. A first date should be fun. That's what I'm after. For me, you can first date however you want.
I agree with
and you. I'm just trying to have some fun.
Light, easy,
have
get
some
to
laughs.
Know you. We're old school though, Vinny. We never really did do the online dating thing. Like that was never anything
but
we had to deal with.
I dated a lot. You didn't date.
I didn't. I was like, oh, you're cute.
Right. You didn't date. I dated a lot. And I like having some fun. And then from there, you decide, well, we got that part correct. Let's see how we can do when we just have, you know, talk about our stuff.
Let me tell you all my trauma.
I don't know if I...
No, you need to know.
My husband and I have been married 15 years. When we first met on a setup, I said, look, I'm not wanting to waste any more of my time. This is who I am. Oh, well, there, that's... Blah, blah, blah. And this is what I expect, blah, blah, blah.
And
he's
all,
the same, and we've only had two big arguments.
Oh.
We're both about money.
Oh, money's hard.
And both were early on in our relationship. I think floodlighting is a terrific idea.
Okay.
She likes it.
Yeah, fine.
All right.
Honestly, who are we to say?
Well, we can say what we like and don't like.
That's true.
Anyway, what's coming up in the trash, Sarah?
King Charles is in the hospital. Plus, what to do with all that money? This, by the way, is a story for people who don't have kids.
Okay, we have a real problem here.
Wake up! You're waking up with Sarah and Vinny.
Freaking amazing.
Alice at 97.3.